close to Psalms. Wow, I only missed that by like six chapters. That was pretty good. Psalm 127 is what I'd like you to turn to. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. It's the day that we honor the women in our lives that by and large had an impact in us, I'm sure in a good way. Those that spoke into our lives and that we have fond memories of. And I'll tell you, when I think of my mother, I think of home. That's sort of a natural thing that goes together. Some very specific images in my mind. I think of my home that I grew up in Claymont, Delaware, about an hour and a half or so from here. And I think of my mom, obviously, as being a part of that. I then even think about when I helped to move my mom back down to where she was from originally, down a little town called Fort Mill, South Carolina. Nobody heard of Fort Mill until Jim and Tammy Faye got there. That's where Heritage USA was. It was kind of strange when that whole thing was going down. I'm seeing Ted Koppel on the news, and he's going live from Fort Mill, South Carolina. I'm going, hey, that's where my grandparents are. Little things like that mean a lot. Doesn't take much to excite me, obviously. But when I think of those things, I think of what it is to have a home, and what does home mean? And so this morning, what I want to look at is building our homes. Now, you can certainly do this physically. If you want to know anything about that, talk to Jeff. So Jeff is a master home builder. You didn't want to be, but you turned out that way. So that's right, by necessity. But building a home for what it is we're going to talk about this morning is more about building our spiritual home, building our family as a home. And that's why we're in Psalm 127. So let's look at that just for a moment. First two verses. And the thing about this, before I start to read it, the thing about this is that, you know, you're never too young to begin building your home. You're also never too old to change the environment of your home. You're also never at the place where, if you desire, the things of your home can be exactly what they should be according to the Word of God. Because God gives us ways that we know how to build our home so that it can be used for Him. But here's what 127, first and second verses say. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early, stay up late, toiling for food to sleep, for He grants sleep to those that He loves. Now this psalm was written by Solomon. You know, Solomon wrote two of the psalms. We always think of David as being the guy that wrote most of the psalms, and he did. He wrote a high percentage of them, but there were some other guys that actually wrote the psalms. You know, Moses has a psalm. There's a chapter in the psalms that Moses wrote. Solomon wrote two of them. And in this, it is the center psalm of 15 of them. It's the 120th to the 134th psalms. They're called the Psalms of Ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S, Ascents. And the reason that these psalms are there is because when the children people would come back to Jerusalem every year, which they did for Passover and to celebrate the feasts, they would sing these psalms on the way. That's what they're for. Traveling together, singing the Word of God. And the 127th psalm is right smack in the middle of those 15 psalms written by Solomon. And you know, the Bible has had such an impact in culture in our world, all except for, by and large, this nation. We're the only ones that have gotten away from that to such a high degree. Now, I'm not talking about the communist countries, because communism, by and large, is atheistic. But in cultures that still have freedom of worship, you'd be amazed at what an impact the Bible has had on them. For instance, the city of Edinburgh, Scotland, which is very close to the birthplace of the game of golf. How many golfers I got in here? My man, I could tell. Don, I knew you were a hitter. You hit a long way too, don't you, Don? I'll bet. Never quite sure where the ball's going to go, but okay, well, that's my game too. We should play together sometime. But in Edinburgh, Scotland, their city motto is this, Nisi Dominus Frustus. That's Latin. And what that simply means is, without the Lord, frustration. That's taken directly from Psalm 127. That's the city motto. So cultures are still being impacted by what the Bible teaches. And what I want to look at this morning is just this first verse for a moment, and then I want to give you just a couple of ways that you can today begin to build your home. And like I said, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what station of life you're in. You college guys are going, thanks, Pastor. I'm in a dorm room. How am I building a home in a dorm room? Because it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. The dwelling itself is not what makes a home. A home is where you are. That's what makes the home. So wherever it is that God is going to take you, whether you're just leaving school, whether you've been in the same place for 30, 40, 50 years, those places are a home because of your presence there. And as a Christian, what makes it a home is not just my presence, but the presence of God and how I live my life and the things that I do. So let's just look at that first verse just real quick. Here's the first part of it. Solomon starts off by saying, unless the Lord. Real simple. But what Solomon is simply saying here is this. The focus is on the necessity of God being a part of our lives. And you know, we lose sight of that so easy because, number one, we're so busy. How many in here are not busy? Don't lie to the preacher. I'm looking right at you. All right? See, nobody. We're all busy. We all have a lot of things going on. Some of them are very important. Some of them, if we were honest and we looked at it carefully, we'd go, you know, I probably don't have to be doing that, but it's a part of my life. And the result of that is that so many times we get going in so many different directions that we begin to lose sight of what's truly is important, and even more than that, the fact that we don't include God in our lives. I know for me, the places I got myself in the worst troubles is when I did my thing over here, and then I went, oh yeah, God, any shot of blessing this for me? That's how I did it. And I figured, good enough, God's going to be a part of this. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody else. Maybe I'm the only one that ever did that. But what I did learn was that sometimes the places that I was going was not exactly where it was that God wanted me to go. And the only way that I would know that is if I asked him. Just ask him. God, what is it you want from me? What direction should I be headed? As I read the word, as I talk with people that I trust, people that I want to have speak into my life, that I honor what it is that they say. God is always faithful. Solomon says, unless the Lord, so unless the Lord is a part of the things that are going on in our lives, we should not expect to have things happen in a way that are going to have any eternal value to us. Now, it doesn't mean it isn't going to be successful in the eyes of the world. Certainly, there are a lot of people today that are very successful according to the world's standards that have nothing to do with God. Can I tell you that when their life is over, so is all of that? It's done. And what we're going to talk about this morning is not only building the home, but the legacy that we leave behind, because that's also a part of our home. It's a part of who we are in investing in other people's lives. Just as God comes and speaks into our lives, he expects us to be able to then give to other people as well. So Solomon said, listen, before anything else, the way it starts is you got to make sure that God is a part of what's going on. Here's the second thing. First thing is, unless the Lord. Second one is this. He builds the house. So unless the Lord builds the house. And there are two different ways that you can look at this verse. Certainly because Solomon is writing it, building the house, you would think would have to do with what? What is Solomon known for building? The temple. And that's certainly a part of it. But what else Solomon is also saying in this is, whoever builds this house, meaning this family, that's the other word in the Bible that word goes to, family. Unless God is a part of what we do in building our family, we're not going to be building on something that's going to glorify him, nothing that's going to truly last. You say, well, wait a minute, what are you saying? You're saying that, you know, unless we do things in a certain way that our families aren't going to stay together? I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that if you want to have a family, if you want to have a home that has a stability to it, a strength to it, that cannot be shaken, it needs to be done with God. It needs to be done with him. You say, well, Pastor Dave, I pray when things get tough. I do that. You know, when I'm having a hard time with things, I'll pray. And we should. But what about the day-to-day things that you're involved in? Is God a part of that as well? What about the small things that don't seem like such a big deal? Is God a part of that as well? I have found in my life more and more that God will speak in and through me if I've got my head cued to Him in the littlest things of my life. Going to the grocery store. I run into more people at the grocery store. Now, I don't know what it is with our family. We're at the grocery store 647 times a week. I don't know if it's just us. It must be the gas points. That's why we're doing that. I haven't paid for gas in years. But there are so many times that God has allowed me to be able to have contact with people in the weirdest places. And you've heard me say this to you before about always being aware of opportunities to be used of Him. But we can only do that if He's a part of what's going on in our lives. So Solomon says, unless the Lord builds the house, here's the third part of it, we labor in vain. Now, the word vain that Solomon uses, that's not the word vanity, where it's about selfishness, about the things that we do, the vanity of vanities. You got to remember, since Solomon wrote this, Solomon wrote three of the books that we have in the Old Testament. He wrote the Song of Solomon, which he wrote early on in his life when he was young and frisky. If you read Song of Solomon, it's a frisky book. Saying, how did this end up in here? That's because Solomon was a young man. He was all excited about everything. As Solomon got older, he writes then the book of Proverbs, which is a lot of wisdom. Wisdom, learning as time goes on, learning as things of the experience of life. And then when Solomon becomes much older, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And the theme of that book is meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. He wasn't a fun guy to have at a party, I don't think, later on. But what Solomon had come to understand was is that all of the things that we make such a big deal about, unless God's a part of them, they really don't have any meaning in our lives. And that's what we need to understand today. That unless God is a part of what it is that's going on in our lives, all of those things that we spend so much time with, they aren't going to have the lasting value that having Him in our lives does. And so Solomon says, unless God builds the house, we labor in vain. And so here's my question for this morning. How do I create a home that makes it secure and able to stand in the times of trial? How do I have that kind of a home? Now, I'm not talking about a physical structure. I'm talking about a spiritual, an emotional home that has strength to it. Well, when you build a house, Jeff, check me on this. When you build a house, there's three primary things that you need to have. You've got to have a foundation. You need to have walls. You need a roof. How am I doing? I got that? Nailed it first time. You got to have all three of those things. You need to have a foundation, you need to have the walls, and you need to have the roof. Well, those three things comprise number one of what we do when we build our home. First thing we do, we build the home. And those three things are with this. The foundation is obviously about the security of the base of what we have. And in Luke 6, Jesus is talking about the wise man. He tells the story of the wise man that built his house on a foundation of rock. And he says, those that listen to me and do what it is that I tell them to do, those that follow me are like those that build their lives on that foundation. Because when anything comes that's difficult, when the storms come, the foundation holds. He said, those that don't are like those that build a house with a foundation not stable. And so as soon as something comes along, it pushes them away. Do you know people like that? People like that, that, you know what, no matter what it seems to happen in their lives, they don't seem to come unglued. Now, I'm not talking about reacting naturally to things. If something bad happens, you're not going to feel good about that. There's nothing wrong with that. I think so many times we think Christians, we should just sort of be these robotic type people who, I'm not going to let that bother me. No, God created us with emotions. We're expected to respond to things that go on. And yet, can I be a person who, no matter what it is that's taking place around me, I am not going to lose my faith in who God is. I am not going to doubt the fact that He cares for me. I'm not even going to lose my joy. And now remember, joy and happiness, that's not the same thing. I'm not going to walk around with a goofy grin on my face if things aren't going well. But my joy never leaves. Because I still know who I belong to. I know what my future holds. I know the fact that He's never going to desert me. I'll always have Him there no matter how difficult it is. And for us to know that means that our foundation is secure. The walls then are a representation then of the Word of God in our lives. The foundation, that's the first thing. That's our relationship with Jesus Christ. The second are the walls. Those are the things of the Word of God. There's a reason we have this, and it goes beyond Sunday. I know, revelation for you there. I just don't want to shock you. But this book needs to be a part of our lives during the course of the week, not just on Sundays. Because this is the place where we learn. This is the place where we're encouraged. This is the place where God can speak to us. How many of you have ever been involved in something you thought, you know, I'm just going to go read something from the Bible, and you turn to the perfect scripture? That ever happened to anybody? Several of you. Yeah. Because God will speak to us through His Word. He's faithful to us in His Word. So I've got my foundation. I've got my walls. And now my roof. That roof is the serenity that I have because of God's love for me. The serenity that I have. Again, it isn't about a goofy grin, but it's about knowing that God's there for me, even in the worst of circumstances. I have been through some things in my life where I felt like my walls and my roof got shaken pretty good. But I knew my foundation was stable. As a matter of fact, my foundation was so stable, not because of me, because of Him. It's why I can stand here in the pulpit this morning, was because my foundation was secure. That's not saying I'm good. That's saying God's faithful. Can I tell you, wherever you are this morning, no matter what storm it is you're walking through, if you're holding on to the rock, if you're keeping your eyes on Him, your foundation will remain secure. Don't give up hope. Stand strong. The storm comes to pass. I love that in the scripture when it talks about hard things. And it came to pass. That's good. It came to pass. It's not going to be there forever. But what's the condition of your foundation? So that's the first thing. We need to build our home. You need the foundation. You need the walls of the Word. And you need that roof of the love of God. The second one is we need to guard our homes. We need to guard them. And when we guard our homes, it means that we are holding on to the things of Him in a way that creates a fortress around who we are. Now, if you look in the Bible and you read the story about the city of Jerusalem, they had walls around the city. Because in biblical times, there had to be walls around cities. Think of Jericho, big walls of Jericho. But the whole thing about Nehemiah, if you read in the Old Testament, it was Nehemiah's job to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Because when the Romans came and tore the city down, they tore out all the walls. They tore down the temple. They tore down all the buildings. They took the people away, and they tore down the walls. Nehemiah was the one that God sent back in order to rebuild the walls. You have to have walls around your city. Because your walls not only protect the people from the inside, but it also keeps those out that should not be coming in. You know, our homes are the same way. We have got to have walls around our home. Not walls to keep people out, but walls in order to protect us from the things that God wants to keep us protected from. What is that wall? Simple. Prayer. Prayer is the wall of our homes. When I pray over my family, when I pray over the things that God has given me, when I pray over my mother, my father, my children, pray over my wife, pray over my husband, I'm building walls to protect. And see, we have to be careful because a lot of times Christians think, well, I can't associate with those people that don't think like I do. I can't be a part of anything that they don't believe just like I believe. Can I tell you that's not what the Word of God says? God's Word says that we are to love one another. There isn't some type of a list there, okay, these people, but not these people. There's no list like that. God sends us people into our lives to love them, to show them His love. Doesn't mean I necessarily agree with everything, but I'm still going to love them. It doesn't mean that I try to change everybody as soon as I get them. Come here, I'm going to fix you. No, just love them. Show them God's love, because I guarantee at some point in your life, somebody showed you love when you probably didn't deserve it, when you weren't the most lovely of people. But we've got to guard our homes. We build them. We guard them. And then here's the last one, is that we need to create a heritage from our home as well. What is it that I am going to pass on to the people in my life? If you think for a moment, there was somebody that spoke into your life in some way. Somebody that helped to set you on a course for where you should go. Are you that for anybody in your life? Are you speaking into anybody's life? Can you be an example of what it is to live a godly life? I think I've told you this so many times. I think one of the most damaging aspects to Christianity in our culture today are Christians. People that say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church. And then you look at what they do. You look at how they act. You look at the words that they say. And there's been a couple that I've wanted to go up and go, could you not tell people that anymore, please? Would you stop that? You're hurting us. But who am I? Who am I to the people in my life? Am I able to show people the love of Jesus? Can I demonstrate that by what happens? And so that when those storms come, I've got that firm foundation, but how am I acting in the midst of the storm? Because I can promise you, if people know you're a Christian, you're being watched. You're being watched all the time. I used to get this a lot at the place where I used to work. This was years ago. And I didn't realize it until I left the job. But there were a lot of people that said, yeah, man, we we were checking out how you handled that. Because you said you go to church, right? I said, yes, I do. So we wanted to see. So how does this person from church act? Am I any different than anybody else? Are you any different than anybody else at your place of work? Are you any different than the other kids in the classroom? Because we'd like to all think, and I'm a Messiah graduate, so I know this. Not every kid that comes to Messiah knows God. Not all of them are Christians. So are you being a light in the place where you are? Are you being a light in your home? Does your husband or wife or your children or grandchildren, any of them not know God? Are you leaving that legacy for them? Because that's what we're called to do when we build our homes. Nothing disqualifies you from this. That's so important for us to know this morning. You are never disqualified from these things. It does not matter what you have done in your past. If you confess it, you're forgiven. That's what the Bible tells us. It doesn't matter what your history has been. You look in the first chapter of the book of Luke, it tells the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. This was the mom and dad of John the Baptist. The Bible tells us they were good people, but they had no kids. Barren, just like Abraham and Sarah. That didn't disqualify them from what God wanted to do. The question was, is did they have faith for what it was that God said was going to happen? Do we have faith this morning for what God is doing in our lives? I know there are so many different walks of life represented in this room this morning. So many different stages of where we are, my past experiences, all of those things. Can I tell you that none of those things makes any difference when we come before God? Because what he is looking for are just hearts that are willing to say, here am I. God, I want you to be a part of my life. I want to build my home the right way. I want my home to be a place of peace. Is that your home? Is your home peaceful? Now, I'm not talking about there's never disagreements, but is there an atmosphere of the presence of God that there's peace in your home? Katarina and I talk about this all the time with our schedules and all the things that we're involved in. Actually, it's mostly me. It's not her. It's mostly me. But we want our home to be a place where it's like a refuge, a place that we can come and recharge and rest. Can I encourage you to make that your home? Make that a place of refuge for your family, for your friends. Your home should be a place where people love to come, not because it's rich, not because you've got all this stuff, but because there's peace there. There's the presence of God there. That's only going to happen when we are committed, dedicated to making God a part of everything of our lives. Let me encourage you with that this morning. If there are areas of your life that you're holding away from God, yeah, God's got that part, but this is mine. He needs to be a part of all of our lives. Now, that may not be easy because sometimes God tells us to lay things down. We talked about surrender. What was that, last week, 2 weeks ago? We talked about surrendering to God. Sometimes when we surrender to him, he tells us to lay it down. But he always blesses us in ways that we cannot imagine when we're obedient and when we follow what he wants for us. Make that your commitment this morning. Follow him in what he desires for your life. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Father, that you have tasked and assigned every one of us to build our homes. And God, that may never be in a physical sense, But certainly, spiritually, Father, I pray that for each man and each woman in this room, that we would be build homes that would be honoring to you. The foundation, Father, is you. You are the rock that we build on. It cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. The walls that protect us and keep us safe and warm inside are your word. The things that we can hold to and learn, put into our minds and our hearts, and that roof is the serenity, the peace, the joy that comes from having you in our lives. Father, help us to know how to guard our homes, to protect them. And then, Father, may we desire to want to leave a legacy for those people behind us, for our children, our grandchildren, the people we work with. God, we can plant legacies anywhere that you put us if we're willing to keep our eyes on you. And so, Father, I pray that this word will seed into our hearts, that we will desire to make changes to glorify you. Thank you, Father, for each and every person here today. I pray blessing over each one, no matter where it is that they go, no matter what it is that they do, that they would look to you, Father. I pray that you would bless them in their finances. I pray you'd bless them in their relationships. Father, I ask that in everything that is done, that your presence would be paramount in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Keep us safe now as we go. And when we come back again next week, Father, we look forward to all that you have in store for us. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray all of these things together. Amen.